Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 12th of July, recording at 8:53 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, stock markets, there's still a nervous tone here in the Western markets. Very much so, much more so than we actually see in Asia. And it's a little bit of divergence that we're getting here that makes me feel, well, maybe the Western markets are not going to do too much worse than go down and test the lower side of their ranges. You know, it's the old Sisyphusian thing. As I said last month, rolling the stone up the hill, getting up to the upper side of the trading ranges, and only to fall right back again at a time when lots and lots of people were forecasting that they would break out on the upside. Well, they remain generally soft, but the fact that Asia is ranging for the most part, and in the case of Japan a little bit better than that, helped by the fact that the results for the election results for Koizumi were not as bad as some people had actually feared. They had actually feared that if he had done a little bit worse than he did, that he could have been pushed out as prime minister, and that uncertainty would not have been terribly good for Japan in the short term. So while that's generally steady, and most of the other Asian markets are ranging, and some of them had had pretty good rallies of late, while the Western markets were coming down, suggests to me that, well, we probably don't have a meltdown situation in here that soon, but I may be too cautious on that, and you know my overall view, and I've been saying it for months, that the chances of stock markets doing anything big on the upside, I felt, were very, very small. That was the least likely possibility, and the time was running out for the bulls, and that the odds certainly favored sideways to lower. And that's, and I'm talking most especially about Wall Street and the European markets in that context. As you know, if I had anything in here, and I do, I would really want that to be, in terms of regional markets, I would want that to be in Asia, where it is, with my positions being variously in Japan, albeit much reduced, India, somewhat reduced, and Thailand somewhat reduced, and I haven't made any changes there recently except to add a tiny bit back in Thailand the week before last. Okay, what can we say about today's action in here? And looking at Wall Street, this has moved really with the oil price, shows what a big influence this is on sentiment. At one stage today, the oil price was really quite strong, getting up close to, I think it was about $40.70 on the crude NYME, and then it fell back. It's currently $39.34. Now, as it fell back and clearly broke underneath the $40 level, that caused Wall Street to recover a bit, and the Dow's looks like it's going to close out with a modest gain. It's currently 21 points, and the S&P up a point, but the Nasdaq's down 10 as I speak. And on the crude oil chart, we had a small downside key day reversal. It was really quite a small key day reversal, but it shows that crude is getting a bit of resistance up near its former highs, which is hardly surprising. And related, well, I'll come back to that in a moment here. Now, how to actually play it? Well, my main activities, you know, having already mentioned those Asian markets, where I've actually been doing the trading here is in some of the mining shares. Now, namely the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, that's the UK listed sterling denominated investment trust, and that's continuing to perform reasonably well. Had a small gain in here today. It's been quite strong of late, and also in Newmont Mining, and it's a good time to I mentioned this in line with the this has fallen in here today. It's down 69 cents as I currently speak, but it had run up from $38 up over 42 in consecutive days, and the pattern still looks really really quite favorable to me, as does the pattern of gold bullion generally. So I'm going to hold on to that a little bit longer. But what I wanted to mention in the context of the PNC fund, which I commented on in here, I think that's quite an attractive vehicle for the long term. The only difference is that if you're active in these markets, as I am, can one do better? Well, some sensible people like to diversify and have some money in a few funds and manage some of it themselves, and that's certainly a stance I generally favor overall, particularly when it's an area such as Thailand or India where I really can't do anything myself very easily. But in something like the precious metals and other futures, which I've traded for years along with the gold shares, I quite like to dip my own hand in the activity. Now, my favorite way really of playing these gold shares here right now is, at first I made the point that with gold shares, you've got to get the company right, you've got to get the timing right, and you've also got to get the currency right, and that's not all that easy. Now, bear in mind what happened to gold shares not all that long ago. They had an awfully big shakeout. So therefore, people are going to be nervous. And my hunch on that is that really, when investors are nervous and yet they start to go back into a sector because they think that it's not doing too badly, they're going to go back into some of the leaders. So they'll buy things like Newmont Mining, which was all the rage in 2002 and for much of 2003, and then as gold was picking up strength, then people were going into the more spicy, more marginal stuff, the lesser known mines, minor mines, looking for things that hadn't really moved. Well, then you get the big shakeout in the whole sector, and what are people going to do? They're going to go back into the big companies. So if you were going to be dealing in golds at this stage, again, I would strongly favor the big companies such as Newmont Mining. And that's the company side in terms of timing. Now, to take the next factor in here, in terms of the actual timing, is the timing right? Well, I think it is, and that I had been saying that gold was a buy down in the 380, 390 range. That was in an accumulation zone, and at 407.45 in here today on the close, so that's the last trade after hours close, that gold to me looks like it's still in a recovery phase in here right now, and the mining share indices look to me like they're still in a recovery phase as well. I'm not looking for anything big on the upside. I've said all along that I suspect that this will be boring far more often than not, as you know. But let's bring in the third factor here, the currency, and this is the dominant influence in here right now, as you could see from that abysmal chart of Durban Rudport Deep that I posted. Now, because gold isn't doing much right now, the mines that are going to do well are the ones that are quoted in US dollars, because the US dollar is currently weak. Whereas the mines that are quoted in Australian dollars, that's doing very well, or quoted in rand, no less, and they're doing appallingly. And as I pointed out, while they are undeniably cheap compared to something like Newmont Mining and so many of the others on the basis of valuations, that valuation without earnings is a valuation, well, is beg your pardon. Yeah, attractive valuation without earnings is value deferred. In other words, it isn't going to do anything. Without the earnings, or the certainly the prospect of considerably better earnings, And the statistic cited by PNC, and this, and I'm sure they're right on this, is that half the South African mines aren't making any money right now. And so that's bad when you consider how much the price of gold has come up in the last couple of years. So to take those three factors, get the company right, get the timing right, and to get the currency right, I think that we could still say that companies, it's got to be big companies, and we can say that in terms of timing, I think the timing is still now favorable because there's lots of evidence that the supply inelasticity theme is back in fashion and helped by the softness of the dollar. And it's very important to get the currency right. That's the critical factor, as I've stressed. And so I want a gold share that is quoted in US dollars. Now, some of you will be thinking at this stage, well, wait a minute, David's going to lose money, or we would lose money if we actually did this. So the last factor is how do we actually play it? And the way I am currently playing Newmont Mining is that I do this on a spread bet, and I do it in sterling. So a spread bet is a tax-efficient means of trading in the UK, but what I basically have is I've got a long bet on Newmont Mining, and it's based on so many pounds per point. So I'm trading it in sterling. If it goes up because the dollar is weak and gold continues to rally, then my gain is not in dollars. It's every cent that it goes up, my bet is being in sterling, so I'll make pounds times whatever the times the size of my bet, but it's all calculated against the move that actually occurs in dollars. So that's taking the weakest currency in terms of the actual mine, like the US dollar, but by placing the bet, I place it in a strong currency, coin currency, sterling. Okay, now let's move on here to bonds. And we had the JGBs firmer in here today. And we also have the US Treasury bonds firmer. You know, I've been talking about shorting these again. I've taken several short profits out of the bonds in the last year and a half or so. And I'm just continuing to watch this, though, because the patterns look to me like they could rally a little bit further. Now, I maintain, as I have all along, that this is top formation extension, and I've said that these top formations could be quite lengthy, and they're proving to be just that, having seen the peak in June 2003. So I'm delighted by this action. Let them go on rallying. I hope they rally right on through August, because I will not be watching the markets closely enough to be opening positions. I certainly won't be looking at any charts while I'm going on Mrs. Fuller's windy, scenic, hilly Land's End to John O'Groats route during the month of August. So, in terms of bonds, though, I wouldn't be doing anything in the government issues but except watching this rally. I'd say, well, why didn't I, when I covered the shorts, why didn't I go long and play the rally? Because I don't play what are counter trend or contra trend rallies. I'll only trade within in line with the major trends. And so I'm still sitting on my hands on those currencies. That we had the dollar, or beg your pardon, the euro rally up to 124.36 against the dollar. But there's not much that's happened in here in currencies today. They're mostly unchanged, although, as I mentioned before, that sterling is the stronger one overall. Cable up at 186.54. People ask me about that from time to time. That's dollar sterling, of course. Looks to me like it's going to go up and test the 190 level at least. But the main story here is still, as I say, that US dollar softness, but it's not a free fall type of situation, and nor do I expect it to be. Elsewhere in the metal markets, mixed day in here. Silver was up a little bit, but looks it was short term overbought. Gold paused quiet. It's been a quiet day here all around. A wee bit of profit taking in some of the industrial metals. Orange juice, which had that good recovery on Friday, and I know some of you still have that, closed down here 40 cents on the day. That's $1.05 off the high. So either it's going to roll over up here and go into a base extension phase, or it might do. Might see that other type of bottoming pattern, which I always expect from stock markets, and I would expect from orange juice, except for the fact that this is a commodity where crop news, of course, can be so important. But the crop news is pretty well known. So normally, what we get is when we have a market that's been stretched and stretched on the downside, when it finally does start to snap back, it rallies very sharply. Initially, it's just one-way traffic, as we saw with orange juice. Then it goes into a slower and somewhat longer sideways ranging phase, whereas if you've taken the chart seminar, you'll see these small steps. So it'll be a straight line up, and then go into little ranges and a step sequence type of pattern, and then that will eventually lose upward momentum and spill over into a very significant correction and lengthy base formation stage. So we've ended the very sharp spike upward phase in orange juice, and we're now in that sideways ranging to higher phase, which we've seen over the last week, and we may see that carry on. It could easily carry on for a few more weeks, but as I say, if it were a stock market situation, then I'd be highly confident. And this is the type of pattern we saw last year with Japan, only it took much longer to unwind than it will with orange juice. So that's pretty much what I look for there. And last but not least, my rather impulsive move to go back into natural gas. Remember, I got stopped out last week, and then it was a little bit lower, and crude oil was beginning to pick up, and so I decided to repurchase my natural gas at a somewhat lower level, having been stopped out at a profit on my long position. I think that's a sixth consecutive profit that I've taken in natural gas since I started taking it. But I'm currently underwater on this position, which fell back sharply today, broke a little bit of lateral support in there on the chart. I'm not going to panic out just yet. But I would be very unlikely to go off on my holiday with that in a losing position, unless it showed some clear signs of turning around. But I'll give that maybe a few days to see what happens in here, because the chart is underpinned by lots of support overall, and I don't think the energy game is over by any means at this stage. But again, if you get stopped out by some on something, even if you're running quite a tight stop as it was, its market wasn't as good as you thought it was, and it's usually best to stay out. So I didn't follow some of my own best advice, not for the first time, but that's not a boast. That's a rap on the knuckles. Have a very good evening.